Do the Sharks make the playoffs this season? Rocket.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Hockey Jerk.
Yes.
Okay. I am unsure.
Wow.
Hey everyone, welcome into another episode of the Pucknologists here on Teal Town USA. This is show 40. Oh boy, show 40. Who thought we'd get past show 4, guys? I am your host, AJ underscore Strong on the Twitter and the Instagram. And as always, on one side of the US, we have Rocket Backhander.
I'm the fitted hat that doesn't quite fit your melon, and none of your friends can wear it either, but it just looks so darn cool that you had to buy it anyway. Rocket Backhander, how you doing?
I've lived that. Hockey Jerk on the other side. What's going on with you, brother?
Today is February 6th, 2018, and it is 8:41 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Yannick Hansen has still not been traded.
Oh, when do buyouts start? So
June 24th, I believe.
There you go. Since we last left you, the Sharks have amassed themselves a record of 28-17-8, good for 64 points. The Sharks stay second in their division. Anaheim, however, has jumped up to the second spot with 62 points, but they have played three more than LA, who sits in fourth with 61, and Calgary, who is in fifth now with 60 points. Now 4 points separates second and fifth. It would have been nice if the Sharks could have gotten Colorado and picked up another 2 points to get some separation. So the Sharks have played 5 games since you heard us last, picking up a loss in Pittsburgh, a shootout loss in Detroit, a victory in Columbus, another victory in Carolina, and then eking out a loss in Colorado. So we start at the Igloo. Murray makes 40 saves in this 5-2 loss by the Sharks. Malkin, of course, gets a hat trick. Russ gets 2 goals and 1 assist. Not a great night for Dylan, who ended up being the only Shark to go -3. However, the silver lining on this is Couture nets his 200th career goal. However, both Sharks' goals did come on the power play, so I had to put my drum away. And the Sharks, another silver lining, held the NHL's best power play scoreless twice in 10 days. With those two games versus Pittsburgh. So, Hockey Jerk, we start with you at the Igloo.
Well, I would just like to point out that Evgeny Malkin, who is one of my favorite players, did get a hat trick. So that was exciting to see. But you know what? Like you said, Sharks hold NHL's best power play scoreless. I think that's a testament to not only the Sharks' defensive game as a whole, but how much it's tightened up in the last, I would say, 4 weeks or so, considering that time, you know, around Christmas, it was kind of sketchy at times. And then, you know what, it's weird that Logan Couture only has 200 goals. It feels like he should have way more, considering, you know, like Rocket and I were joking on the Twitter, you know, he drives the bus everywhere else, so why not pick up the power play bus as well? But all in all, this score, I feel, is like it's a false indicator of how this game went. Because up until, I believe, the end of the second period, things were generally okay. You know, the Sharks were in it, and they had a legitimate chance to win, and then things kind of just spilled out everywhere.
Oh, we're still not talking about hanging out dry D, are we? No, we're not. Rocket, what say you?
Verily I say unto thee, I am gainfully employed and did not get to watch this game. Next.
Oh, I'm telling you, life can get in the way sometimes. Penguins did own the circle 59-41 in this one. But again, Sharks 40% in the circle and 100%, or 40%, I should say, on the power play and 100% on the PK. Out hit, though, 34-17, 2-1 on the hits, but we all know that stat sometimes can be rather meaningless. But the Sharks did put up 42 shots on goal in this one. So, Murray, stick tap to you, you bastard. We move on to Arena, the Pizzarena, the Dojo, the new LCA. That's right, Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. For the first time ever, the Sharks play in the pizza oven. Unfortunately, the best they could do was get a shootout loss. This was a fun one to start, only because we got news that O'Regan was in and Timo was out. Because Timo had taken a shot versus the Penguins and didn't take warm-ups. So they're looks like Timo's out of never mind. Nope, Timo is in and now Regan is out. So that's always fun to mess with the broadcasters and everything. I'm sure PDB had a good time with that one. Dell, to follow suit, was originally listed, but Jones gets the tap on the back to go so he can play back-to-back. It looks like PDB trying to get Jones going a scouch, you think? And going into this one, the Sharks had yet to lose three consecutive games in regulation this season. Going into this one, they did lose, but it was not in regulation. So, to make matters a little bit worse, the Red Wings were on a five-game home losing streak. What are you going to do? So, Rocket, we'll start with you. Were you able to enjoy this match?
I don't know about enjoy it, but yeah, I watched it. Tyler Bertuzzi's.
Oh my god!
It's just he's a bum.
Yeah.
He's a bum.
He leans a little bit. I don't want to say that word, but let me just say his game does lack some punch. No, too soon. Oh come on! You laughed. You know you laughed. Come on. What did you take from this aside from Bertuzzi? I mean, a 2-1 shootout loss. It wasn't awful.
Man, sorry. Between tonight's game and then the other two games that I watched, and then I'm trying to scroll back in my memory to this game against the Wings. I remember I watched this game, and I was so excited because it felt like they could get into it when they tied it up. It was so glorious. And I went and I changed into my shirt that says Sharks Eat Wings because I only get to wear that 2 times a year, literally. 2 days out of the year, and lo and behold, you know, overtime came and went. Shootout. You can't get mad at a shootout loss. I mean, you really can't. So six taps to the boys for holding out as long as they did against the Wings. But my memories of this game are very, very hazy insofar as what happened before the shootout.
Jerk.
I would like to make an aside really quick. Puck guy, if you're auditing this recording, please make a Photoshop of Arena in the Little Caesars font. As for this game, I'm with Rocket. I mean, you can't really be upset with a shootout loss. I mean, it's literally as far as the game can possibly go. You stuck it out the whole way. And the thing I look at is, you know, the resiliency of the Sharks. I mean, they were able to tie it up, you know, in the not in the waning minutes of the game, but I mean, with 5 minutes ish left. So, you know, that's obviously a good thing to see, because as the listeners know, we talk about how this year the Sharks seem to be a little more resilient than in years past. And, you know, to get it from a guy like from Kevin LeBanc, who has been told that he needs to shoot more. You know, assists are nice, but everybody's been saying shoot more, and the broadcaster said it, and now he's got a goal, and it was a pretty big goal. Randy Hahn, of course, with a nice little quote on the broadcast when he got the goal. But yeah, I mean, it's a loss, but it's in the shootout, so I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, you did what you could.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for a little bit more. I was hoping for a Sharks win. I mean, you know, Detroit hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire over the last couple of years. But one thing I do have two little asides for this. Chris Tierney's shootout goal was solid. I think you might see him start getting into a little bit increasing his worth or his value, per se, in the shootout. I mean, they went Pavelski, Couture, LeBanc. I was a little surprised that they went LeBanc there rather than, you know, Donskoy, but I think Tierney could be working his way up. The fun aside being that I happen to have closed captioning put on during this one, and every time Randy Hahn said, and at the CU, it said, happy to see you on the closed captioning. I just got a huge kick out of that. I thought that was fun. So we move on to Columbus and to Echo Rocket. I had to work, so I pretty much missed this one. The couple of notes that I have, of course, again, Sharks go 2-for-3 on the power play, 1-for-1 on the PK. PK right now sitting at second in the league and the power play in the top 5. So at least you have that. 5-on-5 scoring would be nicer. LeBanc and Couture both getting a goal and an assist in this one. And after Jamie Baker returned for about 4 or 5 games on TV, all of a sudden we get Brett Hedekin back. Not sure why. Haven't seen any explanation about it, but a little tidbit of information nonetheless. Rocket, were you able to watch this one?
I did. I watched this game. I did. The thing, I forgot that the Blue Jackets aren't great.
in what respect?
In name, in mascot, in logo. No,
they're just not having a banner year this year, are they?
I wouldn't say a banner year, but they're not crap either. I mean, I would say they're right in the hunt for the Metro Division title, but thing is, the Metro is tighter. Never mind. It's just a really tight.
It's very tight.
Tighter than AJ's power play drum.
So, I understand it's a very rapid paced race over on that end of things, but. Somebody said something about the stats on the Blue Jackets not being very good, like on special teams or something. Like, there's something about them that's not very good, even though.
Well, I mean, a lot of their quote unquote big name guys aren't having very good years.
Yeah.
Well, very good, not like last year, basically. But they're still not bad.
But I still go back to the fact that just good things don't happen to Tortorella.
I felt like. Man, they looked fast. San Jose Sharks looked really fast. And Blue Jackets looked like they were trying to wear them down both in speed and in physicality. They finished their checks and they finished them hard. And surprisingly, it didn't look like San Jose took too much of the wind taken out. Listen to me. Surprisingly, it didn't feel like San Jose got beat down too much. They didn't start losing steam, you know, until the very, very end. And I was surprised by that. But I was pleased. It looked like a great team. This is the future of the Sharks without, you know, Joe Thornton. Then, okay. I'm not angry at this. And that's just how I felt about that game.
I know. Jerk, Couture, LeBanc with 2 power play goals in this one. Vlasic seals the deal in the third. What say you?
You know, this game, I was actually, I don't want to say I was worried, but I was interested to see it because, you know, like I kind of said, the Blue Jackets, they're not having a banner year, but they're still right in the hunt. And it was going to be curious to see how their game from last year to this year would translate. And evidently, it's not the same level of excitement, but it's still interesting to see. And then the Sharks pretty much just ruined everything that I was thinking because they were pretty much the better team for the most part. And I mean, the score dictated that. I was expecting the Blue Jackets to score more. And I was actually expecting the Sharks to not be able to get 3 behind Bobrovsky, just considering he is the reigning Vezina Trophy winner. But you know what? Sometimes things fall the right way for your team. And this goes back to what I feel like I've said 1,000 times, but, you know, the Sharks coming into an away barn against a really good team and not folding over and just saying, no, I don't care how good you are. We're going to beat you. And that's what they did. And they got a very crucial 2 points.
All right. Well, we move on to Carolina. Well, that's an interesting road trip. Detroit, Columbus, Carolina. Sure. So the Sharks roll into Raleigh, pick up a 3-1 victory over the Canes. Dell picks up a start after Jones gets his first W in what seems like quite a while. Burns continues to have a very hot 2018, picking up a goal and an assist in this one. Timo Meier would start off the scoring with apples from Donskoy and Burns. Tierney gets the game winner from Carlson and Bodker. Burns puts a bow on it from Ward, and Yoki Ryan, the only goal coming from Carolina, one of the two Sebastian Ajos in the league. Right? So, Rock, were you partaking of Super Bowl festivities, or were you able to catch this as well?
The only sport is hockey, bud. The only sport is hockey. Hold on. Okay, so there's a kitten in my throat. Mew. The Sharks and Hurricanes was a great game to have on the San Jose Sharks' first ever Super Bowl Sunday game. I have to say that this was really nice. I felt like they were piggybacking off of the momentum from their win against the Blue Jackets. They looked like they continued to be a speedy team and just looked like they had their stuff together. They looked locked and loaded, ready to go. But you have to also remember that the Carolina Hurricanes aren't the best team in the league. So it just made them look maybe better than they actually were. Who knew? But I liked it. It was again, one of those games where if this is the future of the team in a post-Marlowe, post-Thornton society, so be it. I'm all right with this.
Jerk, what did you think about things in Raleigh?
So, I woke up when the first period ended.
All right.
Yeah, but I will say, caught the first intermission, obviously. Nice goal by Chris Tierney going to that greasy front of the net area and just letting it tap right off his stick and go in. You like seeing goals like that. I mean, how many years have the Sharks been criticized for not going to greasy areas to get goals? And, you know, Cobra, that seems like that's all he's doing. And now he's got, what, 13 on the year? So it's working for him.
A great pickup as well, being that Sebastian had scored with right about the 18-minute mark, and Tierney gets it back a minute and a half later.
Right, and that goes back to what I was saying for the game against the Red Wings is the resiliency. You know, we could have easily seen the Sharks, you know, get upset by Aho tying the game, and they go into the dressing room, and then something, you know, psychs them out of it, and then they end up losing like 6-1. But, you know, they erased that previous shift, went out for the next one, and Cobra got the eventual game-winning goal. But same thing goes for Timo Meier. You know, he was somebody that was looked at to replace the offense from Patrick Marleau leaving. I can't wait until we can stop talking about Patrick Marleau leaving. And you know what? He's stepping up. He's not, you know, he's not like a Mikko Rantanen or a Brock Besser or somebody else from his draft class, but I would say he's doing what we expected of him and probably what he should be doing given, you know, how long he's been in the NHL at this point. So that's obviously encouraging to see. And then Brent Burns, you know, like you said, he's just turned it around. He's having a pretty memorable start to 2018 after sort of fizzling out in the second half of 2017, and kind of makes you wonder if he's worked his way back into the Norris conversation or if it's too late.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That minus of his, though, may have something to might be hurting him just a scotch. Fun thing, though, over those four games, though, the Sharks out-hit at a 2-1 pace, and in both wins, the Sharks were outshot, yet in both losses, the Sharks owned the shot counter. So you make the call. You do the math. And so we move on to Denver, Colorado for the Sharks' latest game, a 3-1 loss to the Avalanche. The Avalanche would pick up their 9th consecutive home ice win. However, in this one, the Sharks did hold off the Avs without a shot for over half of the first period. The Sharks, to me, looked ready to roll, at least in the first period. And Rocket, it felt like, I don't know, somebody brought some sort of shall we say, I don't know if somebody was like passing out the edibles or something. I do know that, you know, marijuana is also legal in Colorado because the Sharks came out asleep in the opening of the second, letting in 2 in the first 5 minutes of that period.
That was tough. They needed more oxygen, I think, in the locker room. I know that they probably could not have used, you know, oxygen on the bench because it's a bad look, but they definitely should have brought it with them, snuck it in, maybe disguised it as some extra gear or something so nobody else knew about it. But it really, really would have helped in this situation. Definitely a little bit more Perry air, if you would, definitely have helped prevent that.
I don't know. I mean, Scott Hannon's last year in TL, he played with an oxygen tank, and it worked just fine.
Oh, God.
For those of you listening, I think he means that he had one on his back the entire time he was here.
That and he's old. I mean, I'll take either one.
Yeah, either works.
Multifaceted ribbing here.
Oh, hey now. We're about to get to areas where Rocket's going to get upset, so everybody just deal with it. DeMelo completely flubbed a pass from Dylan. That's not on Dylan. That's on DeMelo, but DeMelo flubbed the pass. Later in the same play, Dilly gets tripped, coming back, blows a tire, ends up being a 2-on-1 for the Avs. First goal by Bork on a great pass from Compher. Then a little bit later in this one, maybe, about 2-3 minutes later, because it was quick in the first, at the beginning of the second, Dylan and DeMelo just got absolutely victimized. They just got pylonned on their own blue line, and Compher and Jost just blew right by him, and they get one past Jones again. In this one, the thing that really stuck with me, hockey jerk, Colorado was hitting the Sharks with impunity. I mean, they were just leveling guys. Now, I'm not expecting the response. Haley is not on this team anymore. Scott Parker is not on this team anymore. This you don't see the idiot responses like you used to, but you gotta at least have a little bit of a physical answer. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong, but I think something that has to be considered here is that if you have the puck for a majority of the period, you're going to get hit. And that's
no, kind of- I get hit. You're going to get hit. But the fact, these were a little more than hits. I mean, they were getting pounded. They're going to feel this flight home.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Blue Jackets. I think that's a tactic though. I think that's a definite tactic by some teams that they finish their checks, they finish them hard, and they make sure that the team will field them the next day.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the hits on this 22-7, and that's just the counted ones. You know what I mean? But I'm sorry, jerk. I digress.
Well, you know what obviously, like I said, you know, you're not having the puck, you're going to hit a lot, but I think a product of the impunity, as you called it, was, you know, Colorado, I believe, two separate instances in this game went about 9 minutes without a shot.
Yep.
And I don't know if either of you have ever played hockey before, but that kind of pisses somebody off when you can't get a shot in 9 minutes. So I can understand why the physicality would have ramped up. It's one of those things where you're obviously frustrated and you want to make some kind of impact in the game, but at the same time, you have to keep your emotions in check. And, you know, the Sharks, I mean, obviously it worked for Colorado because the Sharks were, I feel, worn down by the third period. And, you know, they got some sustained pressure towards the end, but, you know, Jonathan Bernier was just on top of them the whole time. And there were a few instances too, where it just seemed to me like there was a total lack of the movement, you know.
Yeah. But no, I couldn't agree with you more. I thought the Sharks absolutely owned the first period. The second period they wilted a little bit, obviously, especially in the opening 5 minutes, but they started to wilt a little bit. And then the third period was almost like an inversion of the first period, where it seemed like Colorado had all the looks and they weren't getting all the shots, but they had a ton of possession. I mean, the Sharks almost outshot them 2-1. I mean, 39-20, but a lot of that came in the first period.
Yeah, it was the right start, you know, kind of like Columbus, kind of like Carolina. But then I think the toll that this road trip took on them, I think it eventually caught up to them. And I mean, what a perfect time for them to just sort of fizzle out, you know, the last game on the road trip before they go home and get some, I say some time off, like half a day, but you get the idea.
Yeah, this was one of those ones that really proved that no one from Finland is on this team, because there was no finish.
Sure.
Nothing? Okay, fine. At least, again, we tried to look for the fun. And the fun one in this was that Wes McCauley disappointed everybody watching this game because there was a reviewed goal by Joel Ward just over halfway through the second period. And it ended up being a goal, but they did have to look at it. And Wes McCauley, we were expecting something among the dramatic flair that he has shown in the past, and we're all left disappointed, kids. It was Wes, you're better than that. I'm just saying. And then Comfrey gets the empty netters, seal it. I mean, it's a plus three tonight. Comfrey just had a monster of a game in this one, but that's the way it would end in Denver. And that is the week that was in Sharks hockey, which takes us to Shark Bites. Okay, kids. I can't remember the game. You're gonna have to help me. I want to. What team does Dubinsky play for?
Columbus.
It is Columbus. Okay, I wasn't sure because I know that I missed most of that, but I did catch like the first few minutes of that game before work impeded on my life. Dubinsky taking a stick and just hooking Dylan's leg and flipping him back. I mean, thank God Dylan had his helmet on at that point. How does NHL player safety not even look at this?
Because they're bad and they should feel bad.
Oh, my God.
Because it wasn't Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, or Patrick Kane.
Right?
All I'm going to say is Brendan Dillon got fined for a reactionary slash, and Alex Burrows got off free after spearing Kevin or Timo Meier's freaking cornea.
Right? And funny you bring up Alexander Burrows, who this evening, you know, recording this on the 6th of February, Burrows goes after Taylor Hall tonight. We'll see if NHL player safety gets involved.
Straight Blanca from Street Fighter on him and just like started biting his head. Ow, ow.
Well, Burrows is a known biter, but
it's true.
That's
and he's also apparently a Street Fighter fan too.
I guess, but I wonder. My whole thing is like, to me, Burrows should get the book thrown at him, but that's just because he's Burrows. And yes, but if Burrows gets anything, my whole time I'm going to be pointing to what Dubinsky did and saying, and how come Dubinsky's wasn't even looked at if you're going to do anything with Burrows? So with that,
and I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's that's where I think the problem lies, is because you see, and you even if you watched the video of Joe Pavelski mic'd up that the Sharks YouTube channel put out, you know, the referees are making, and I know it's not just the referees, but decisions are being made whether it's injury or no injury, which, I mean, sure, I see the logic in it, but cases like Alex Burrows on Taylor Hall and cases like Dubinsky on Dylan and cases like Dustin Brown on Justin Schultz, you know, you have to look at it as, okay, did he do this on purpose or did, you know, something just go wrong and it was purely accidental? Because, you know, Joe Thornton booty bouncing TJ Oshie in the head, that was an accident.
Yep.
But there were a lot of people pissed off about it. And yet, like we said a couple weeks ago, Dustin Brown obliterates Justin Schultz into the boards when he's already on his knees, and that's a hockey play.
Yeah, we shall see what occurs, but player safety, get it together, guys. I mean, if you want to be taken seriously whatsoever,
it doesn't help when there's a former goon at the helm of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that did seem a little odd. However,
fight me.
So I got to ask, you know, we're just about 20 days away from the you know, a whole 3 weeks from the hockey trade deadline. Do the Sharks make any moves, Rocket? Do you think that they're going to go out and try to find somebody? They're obviously not going to find anybody to replace Thornton, but do you think that they make any type of an addition, or they say, you know what, things are okay, remain calm?
You know, I think it might be too much of a risk to go out and try to seek out another level of secondary scoring when they have guys like Hansen and Bodker on the roster. It's kind of one of those issues of the devil you know versus the devil you don't. If they can make some sort of devilish deal to get rid of one or both of them and get something in return, I mean, anything would be an improvement.
Yeah, because there's the case of trying to make some sort of addition, but there's also perhaps selling off a piece, perhaps Aaron Dell.
No. He's the backup. he's our number two. Like he's the okayest goalie in the NHL. He's our guy. He's who we're riding into the postseason with. And if you think that we're trading him away, you need to stop sniffing glue in your mom's basement.
Now, I would agree with you. We shall see if Doug Wilson does too. Hockey Jerk, what we know you are hashtag quote foreseen. What do you foresee happening with the Sharks between now and the deadline?
Fire everybody. but
burn it down.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Because I agree with Rocket. I think it's one of those situations where, you know, it's the one you know versus the one you don't know. The only problem here is the one that you know sucks.
sucks badly, yeah.
I mean,
looking at you, Hansen.
And I hate to be like that because these are obviously real people. But, you know, you're right. And, you know, playing devil's advocate here, Bodker's had a hell of a 2018. I don't see how you just give up on that now. And it's been well documented, the chemistry he's developed with the Cobra over the whole season. I think you have to see where that takes you. And Yannick Hansen's a different story. I mean, all joking aside, he's been a healthy scratch for the last, like, 6 or 7 games, I believe. Yeah. And even then, the games he has played this year, which at last check, I believe, was 28, it's probably more by now. He's got a whole 0 goals. And if you recall, the Sharks played, I believe it was the Vancouver Canucks at home a while back.
And when you said he's been scratched for the last 6 or 7 games, I thought you were going to say weeks.
Well, it feels like that.
Yes.
But if you recall, I said on Twitter, I said Yannick Hansen is playing with the Joes, which means if he doesn't score tonight, he may never score again.
He's not going to score, yeah.
And
hashtag foreseen.
And if you remember, he had a wide open shot in the slot, and the puck scooted in the blue paint and
just scooted.
But my point is with all of this is that. It, you know, it's easy to say trade Hansen, trade Ward, trade DeMello, but you have to obviously teams have to want these guys for starters, and secondly, you know, they're not going to be some sexy pickup. And I mean, I'm sorry, Joel Ward is not the 21 goal scorer he was 2 years ago. Yannick Hansen is not the 20 goal scorer he was 2 years ago. Dylan DeMello, I can see that
so
shake up.
So glad you mentioned that name. I'm so glad you did, because if you didn't, I would have.
Well, and you know what? We all said, you know, hashtag fourth round pick, but DeMello's, I mean, he's not lighting the world on fire with his play, but he's been a very serviceable defenseman, and whether you hold on to that or whether you trade it away, you know, as any team manager will tell you, you can never have too many healthy defensemen. I mean, look at what the Nashville Predators dealt with at the end of last year and the beginning of this year.
True. But I just don't think that DeMello, as serviceable and smart of a defenseman as he is, I don't think that he pairs up very well with Burns or Dylan. And tonight, if you saw at the beginning of the show, there's Dylan and DeMello, and there's Dylan and DeMello. And then third period, there's Burns and Dylan. There's Burns and Dylan. So, I mean, I've never been 100% behind DeMello and Dylan. And obviously that's who he would get paired up with. I mean, cause they're not going to break up anyone else. And so it's
Well, when the Sharks return to SAP on Thursday versus Vegas, do we see the return of Timur?
I hope so. I hope so. I think that he worked better. He worked better with alongside Brent Burns, and I think anybody. Excel, maybe Ryan. Joachim Ryan's pretty good too.
As good as Joachim Ryan has been with Brent Burns this year, I still, you know, the Barracuda fan in me wants to see Ryan Heed together in the NHL.
Stop.
They will be. They just have to retire the Wookiee, and then they can be reunited, and it'll feel so good.
All right. Well, gut check time, gut feeling time. Very quick, yes or no, at this point, with everything as tight as it is in the Pacific and what you know, do the Sharks make the playoffs this season? Rocket.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Hockey Jerk.
Yes.
Okay. I am unsure.
Wow.
So we move on to our three stars of the week, or what we call...
Oh, good for you!
And your third, Hockey Jerk.
My third star is you for that comment alone.
Why, thank you, good sir. My third star. Oh, I feel so spotlighted. You know what? My third. Oh, this pains me to say, but I'm going to give my third to Mikael Boedker. And the reason being, he might not have been on the score sheet very much over the last week, but you know what? I'm noticing him now a little bit more. Well, okay, I'm noticing him, which I wasn't doing for quite some time. So, Mikael Boedker, consider yourself put on notice. You've been called my third star. You better put something together, buddy. You still got to score like what, 13, 14 more goals in the remaining like 29 games in order for you to like pay Jerk off, something like that. Rocket, your third.
My third is going to go to Chris Cobra Tierney because he's looking good out there. He's like, you know, got his man face on. He looks good. He's skating like a real professional out there.
We move on to the second stars. And my second for the week is going to be one Mr. Brent Burns. Dude, you stunk it up the first 2 months of the season. You started to find your game come the holidays. And since the 2018 calendar has become a reality, dude, you're just showing up left and right now. You did get caught out against Colorado when somebody else threw the defensive starfish posture at you. That's okay. But you know what? You've still been cranking it up. So, Burnsy, you get my second. Rocket, your sec.
I totally blanked. My second, and I totally thought about this too, is going to go to a very sweet face out there. Now, I'm pretty sure there's a real practical reason why he's doing this, and it's not because of why I think it is, but like the practical reason is because guy got hit in the face of the puck, probably a little sore in the mouth, right? He's not a roadie. Doesn't necessarily feel like shaving is that important, so he's just not shaving. He's growing it out. So what I've noticed is that since Joe Thornton's gone, maybe Logan Couture started to grow the beard out in his absence in order to maintain some sort of balance in the universe. So my second star is going to Logan Couture just because he's trying to grow the beard out. But it's really cute because the mustache is coming in really nice. It's really nice. And then, like, the goatee's coming in great. But there's, like, this 2-inch gap in between the mustache and the goatee. I feel bad for him, but yeah.
Oh, poor guy. I think so. Jerk, your second.
My second star is Mikael Boedker for having a resurgent 2018 and at times, especially on this road trip, being the most noticeable player. I can't tell you how many instances, I don't recall if it was the Columbus or the Carolina game, but one of those, it was like Boedker with a great chance. Boedker hard to the net. Boedker keeps it in. Like, Boedker was freaking rock star on this road trip. And I don't think he's going to hit 20, but I'm excited to see what he can do in the remaining, you know, 28 games and see if maybe this is a sign of good things to come. I mean, it's only been 2 years.
And to be fair, Hockey Jerk is saying he'll probably not hit 20 on February 6th. Hockey Jerk could very easily tweet out on February 7th that he's going to score 27.5 goals. So
that's also true.
Yes. So remains to be seen. We move on to the number one star. And as always, we start with our number one star, Rocket Backhander.
My number one star this week is probably going to go to Mr. Fingerlicking Good himself, Jonas Donskoy.
Who dangles goalies till they're spent.
God, the guy is just so greasy. So greasy. And just Mr. Puck Handler, back and forth, up and down, left and right. It's like watching the ball in the shell, except there's only one puck and one stick, and yet you're still confused. It's just magic what he does, and I appreciate his presence in teal. And for that, I salute him.
Hockey Jerk, your numero uno!
My numero uno is Senor 39, Mr. Logan Couture.
Well done.
I don't know where I was going with that. Wow.
Someone needs a donut, it sounds like.
I was going to say, I was trying really hard to rattle off something clever, and I couldn't.
Y'all can send me some donuts.
Can we have the number one star, please?
It's me, obviously. No, my number one star, obviously, Logan Couture, including tonight's game, even though he didn't score, he's got 5 goals in his last 7 games, putting him at 22, a.k.a. the team leading goals. If he did not get hurt in December, January, he would have been the Sharks All-Star representative. If the Hart Trophy was like the Masterton, where every team submits a candidate, Logan Couture would be the team's candidate. I know he has haters. I don't get it, because no Logan Couture means no playoffs, no long-term future, no fun.
I think it's probably because they don't think that he's somebody who they could hang out with off the ice. And that reflects poorly on his professional athleticism for some reason.
You know, that's not a bad take. I think he does kind of have that, a little bit of that air about him. It's either that or, you know, people think that he's going to just continue to drive up the Sharks' dental insurance, you know, deductibles or something. It's something along those lines. My numero uno for the week, it's a combo. It's a 2-for-1 deal. It's the boys. If you think about it, there have been certain Sharks that have kind of been considered like pairs. Like, a lot of people have kind of put Thornton and Marlowe together as kind of like this pair because they were, you know, same draft class and everything. And to a certain extent, Marlowe and Couture have kind of been paired a little bit together in the fact that they both kind of came up at the same time. And they're all, you know, they're only like a year and a half apart in age.
And I'm sorry, who?
Couture and Pavelski? What did I say?
You said Marlowe.
Sorry. Couture and Pavelski. So for me, the pair that I think, and we even remember like Hurdle with Wingles as the whole peas and carrots. Well, the new peas and carrots kids is who gets my number one star, and that would be one Timo Meier and Kevin LeBanc. Both of them seem to have a really, really good road trip. Both kind of making a name for themselves, getting some probably a little bit more ice time than they would with the absence of Jumbo, and they're making the most of it. So Meier and LeBanc get the number one star. And if you got any stars this week,
oh, good for you.
It is time. Are you ready?
Don't do this.
All right, it's time to dry the D. No, it's around the horn.
Well, hey now.
Hey now. So we only get one thing for around the horn because it's getting closer and closer and closer. So I have to know, Rocket, what names are you looking for to move? How many teams are going to try to get something for that pending UFA? See, now, there's one way to look at this in that you look at teams that are going to that might want to try to bulk up, say Nashville or something, that are going to look for a missing piece. But I want to know about the teams that are trying to get rid of that pending UFA and actually get some value, whether it's Nash or Tavares or Pacioretty or Evander Kane. Who actually gets their team some value? Because we all saw Marlowe walk away for nothing last year. What's going to happen? What UFA gets their current team something? Even if it's just picks for the future, who do you think gets like a really good return?
First of all, if Doug had dealt Marlowe away, the fan base never would have forgiven him. So the fact that Marlowe walked for nothing,
it's the way
it needed to end.
Nope. I disagree with you wholeheartedly because Doug Wilson could have very well came out and said he wanted this. I was not willing to give him that. So, but this is a team he wanted to go to, and Toronto was willing to give us like a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick. So that's the deal we made. I think fans would be fine saying, hey, we're getting a pick when we could have just let him walk and got nothing when he was going to walk anyway, because Doug Wilson was not going to give that three-year deal.
There's no way, because the fan base would have been like, you don't know, he would have walked. Patty would have stayed. He gave his heart and soul to San Jose. He never would have left. He would have stayed. Doug traded him away. And I guarantee you, yeah. Okay, you can shake your head at me all you want, but hindsight's 2020, boo-boo.
So I agree with both of you.
Yes. Well,
I agree.
So now we have the Schrodinger jerk around here.
So I mean, I agree with AJ in the sense that, you know, it's at least something that they should have considered. Like, hey, you really want this guy? Why don't you throw us a seventh and see what happens? But at the same time, I do agree with Rocket that if that happened, everybody would have peed in their pajamas and would have been like, oh my god.
But they peed in their pajamas anyway.
Well, what do you expect? We're talking about Sharks fans here. Speaking as one myself, of course.
All of us.
Yes. I'm wearing my pajamas.
Breaking news, hockey jerk no longer part of the Sharks podcast, Pucknologist.
cut to me standing with a box with all my belongings being like, I didn't mean to say it like that.
It's like a soggy puddle forming behind you.
Pajama. Who do you think like gets some good value? I think the Rangers are looking for way too much for Nash. I think Tavares is going to stay put. I think just he's enamored with the idea. He just seems like he wants to be a lifelong Islander. He's enamored with the whole new building idea. Evander Kane is a known cancer in locker rooms. So his value, obviously, not that great. And then Pacioretty, another big name UFA. I mean, who's going to get something for the teams? Or do we see actually just everybody almost kind of stay put? Or do we just see some lowball people? I mean, it just, I don't know.
Well, I think the Rangers have finally come to terms with what has been written on the wall since the summer of 2016, is that they're unfortunately not good enough to win a Stanley Cup anymore. And you saw that with the trading of Derek Brassard and the trading of Derek Stepan.
You saw that with Hurdle scoring 4 goals on Marty Baron.
They went to the Stanley Cup final that year. Oh, got you.
No.
Yeah, but did they win it?
No, they didn't. Anyway, there you go. I think the Rangers, for them, it's going to get to a point where they'll take what they can get on their guys. I mean, you don't trade away, you know, you don't trade away your top center and your better goalie for a draft pick and a prospect defenseman with the hopes of making the Stanley Cup final. You don't do that.
Yeah.
And you don't trade away a 30-year-old top six center for a 24-year-old top six center and say that everything is fine. You're obviously trying to, you know, rebuild.
Nothing to see here. Everything's fine.
Well, but with that said, then, I mean, Nash clearly on his way out the door. Do you think, King Henrik is at the end of the line. Do you think like they just kind of maybe make wholesale changes and they even get rid of AV?
Well, it's funny because I was expecting AV to be fired like 2 months ago, and evidently that did not happen. But I agree. I think Lundqvist is on the way out. Problem with that is his remaining years and term on his contract is stupid. Keep in mind, he's 35 right now, which already ancient, especially by goalie standards. And after this year, he's got 3 more years at $8.5 million a season. Like,
wait, Lundqvist is only 35.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I feel old.
My point is that you're not trading that. So
yeah,
the Rangers are going to be stuck one way or the other. And then to, you know, just cover the other names you have written here, Tavares, you're right, probably stays. Pacioretty, even though he is rumored to be traded, I don't know. I could see him stay because he's on such a nice contract. I believe after this year, he's got 1 more year at $4 million, which is a steal for somebody who can score 30 goals. But at the same time, we saw with Matt Duchene, who had a couple more affordable years, made him easier to trade. So you kind of have to wait and see with that one. Evander Kane, I don't buy into the whole cancer thing anymore. I mean, he's long away from doing push-ups with $100 bills on his back and, you know, getting his tracksuit thrown into the shower. But, you know, he's having a good year. He's an option I could see for a lot of teams. I mean, you can't – can anybody say no to a 25-goal scorer who's under the age of 26? I sure as hell couldn't.
Well, fine. Throw that out there. Why don't you?
I'm just saying you want me to provide the other side of things. Here I am.
No, I hear you. But to put a cap on Lundqvist though, sure, he's getting $9 million this year. Next year it's 7.5, then 7, then 5.5. So maybe that makes it a little bit easier. I mean, hello, Dallas is always an option. They love their goalies.
That's an excellent point. I mean, the low salary makes it easy for a team to absorb it. But at the same time, I mean, he's looking for that cup. And
yeah, and he does have a more move.
And unfortunately, the only teams who I think would even consider taking him are teams that aren't near the Stanley Cup, because those are the only teams that have cap space for him.
Yeah. Well, it should make for a very interesting next couple of weeks leading up to the deadline. I don't know. I just have this bizarre feeling that we're just not going to see a whole lot of movement. I think you're not going to see the blockbuster this year. You're going to see maybe a couple small moves to shore up some things, but I don't see, you know, the Shea Weber for PK Subban type of deal. You know what I mean?
Well, and that kind of, I think, illustrates, you know, that buzzword, the parity in the league. I mean, you know, depending on how things go, you have 31 teams who could realistically qualify for the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Except, well, 30. I mean, let's not get crazy about Arizona.
Do not make me come to your house and hit you.
All right, let's get out of here, kids. I'm sure we've already went way too long. Coming up for the Sharks, they're going to be hosting the Las Vegas Golden Knights for the first time ever at the SAP Center. Then we finally get the Edmonton Oilers. Is this like the first time we're seeing Edmonton this year? It kind of feels like it. No, we played at Edmonton and that groovy little Western Canada trip just before the holidays in December, but it is the first time we're seeing the oil at the tank. And then after that quick little two-game stanza at home, we head right back down to Anaheim to face the Ducks for, I believe, the final game versus them for the season. So, and don't tell me that game isn't going to have a lot riding on it with a clear 2 points. This is when it's going to start to get dirty, kids, because you've got five consecutive games now: Las Vegas, Edmonton, Anaheim, Arizona, Vancouver. This little stretch of games, these next five, are going to be huge with how tight everything is in the Pacific. So Vegas, Edmonton, and Anaheim. Rocket, how do you think Team Teal pulls out of this one?
Oh, okay. So we're going to lose against Las Vegas. I think that's pretty much kind of a given. Unless you can really ply a lot of La Vix orange sauce on these kids, I think maybe they just don't have the gastrointestinal fortitude to be able to handle the kind of food that we have here in San Jose.
Are you trying to say you're hoping for San Jose flu?
Well, yeah. Then let's see. It's San Jose revenge. Edmonton. Yeah, screw it. We're going to beat them. We're going to beat them at their own game. That game is hockey, ladies and gentlemen.
How are you going to do that, hockey?
And then Anaheim, we're going to win. So all three wins. Winning. So much winning.
Oh, winning. Jerk for the realistic take.
The Sharks are going to go for the Charlie Sheen hat trick. Winning, winning, and winning. Because Vegas. Mm-hmm. Vegas on a slide. Edmonton, bad this year. Anaheim, at home, they seem to not be able to beat the Sharks. So, yeah, three wins in three games, and maybe it's the beginning of that separation you were talking about.
I would like to see that, yes. I'm going to go off the page a little bit, off script, off book, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to say the Sharks go 2-1, but to really bake your noodle, the two wins are going to come they're going to come against Vegas and Anaheim, and they're going to lose to Edmonton because hashtag that's so Sharks. I'm just saying.
I just don't think we're going to beat Vegas, though. I mean, like, winning, except for, I just don't think so.
You know, if everybody won in Vegas, there would be no Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
That's an excellent point.
There's a reason why that town has all those twinkly lights. They didn't pay for them. All the tourists did. Final thoughts on where the people can find you, Mr. Jerk.
Okay, so it is February 6th, 2018 at 9:41 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Yannick Hansen has still not been traded. You can follow me on the usual social media, Twitter, and nowhere else yet, at hockey_jerk. Back to you.
Yeah, I'm a little under... I mean, they put Martin on waivers. How have you not put Hansen on waivers yet? Anyway, Rocket, how about you?
My name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on Twitter complaining about gosh darn near everything teal and Sharks related because that's what we do. We're Sharks fans. Capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76, Rocket Backhander 76 on the Twitter machine. Also, you can check out my visual representation of life as a Sharks fan in a foreign country that is Nashville, Tennessee. Check me out on Instagram, Rocket Backhander. One word, AJ.
And I am AJ_Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram, also making fun things happen on the Teal Town USA Instagram. Follow it at Teal Town USA. Same on the Twitter for that matter. Subscribe to us if you enjoyed this podcast. We're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Pucknologist. This is it, the end of show 40 of the Pucknologist. Thanks for tuning in here on Teal Town USA. We will see you next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Holla!